I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Surprise, bitch, we're back.
We just couldn't stay away.
Even at our age.
I've nothing else to do, to be honest.
The last few weeks have been very quiet, but we have decided to return to the scene of the crime. Welcome to Shrine of Duty, the OCG special.
Let's go, come on.
Let's be clear. Shrine of Duty.
You're being interviewed today as a witness, not as a suspect.
The official, unofficial podcast.
My team will get to the root of anything.
Shrine of Duty.
Guys, can you cope? So, by some weird twist of fate, the incredible actors behind Lisa McQueen, Lee Banks and Ryan the Bent Bastard have agreed to talk to us.
Yeah, that's... So, like, basically all the, like, questions we were left with at the end of season 5, hopefully we'll get some answers.
Hopefully, or else we'll just get to talk to them, fangirl.
Well, yeah, have the crack.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to talk to Rashinda Sandal, who plays Lisa McQueen.
We are also going to be talking to Alistair Natkeel, who is Lee Banks in the series, and Gregory Piper, who plays Ryan, the Bent Bastard Pilkington.
I think that's going to be an interesting one because he started out on this show in season 1 as a kid, totally went away, and then came back to the same show, however, 7 years later as an adult to play, you know, what's going to be a really huge role by the looks of things.
Potentially the next Doc Cotton.
Yeah. I think that's definitely what he's been teed up to be.
Potentially. Oh, you caddy.
That just came off the top of my head.
I found the golf caddy in my bag the other day that you left on my desk in work.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you. Who was it?
DSDI Shackleton.
DI Shackleton. I couldn't stop laughing at that. So, guys, what have you been up to for the last... how many days has it been? It's been a full week now.
It's been a while.
What's everyone watching? We started The Virtues. Years and years, Brendan.
Yeah,
you like
I'm on
that?
Years and years. I've done one episode and I really like it.
I'm going to get on years
very
and years.
Very cleverly made.
I'm going to get on years and years as well. I stupidly didn't put a season record on it after my own abuse to you in the opening of this podcast, but I will find it and I will watch it.
You sound like Liam Neeson.
I will find.
Instead of hunting down
episode,
a kidnapper,
yeah,
you're
trying to find
television.
A dodgy link for years and years. don't tell the BBC, we love them.
Yeah, we do. I have been watching Dead to Me on Netflix. I finished the first season last night and I absolutely adored it.
I have two episodes left.
It's bloody brilliant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have a few bits to watch. I might go back and watch season 1 of Liar. Really was into that.
Yes, I might rewatch that. Yeah. Season 2 should be coming soon.
Season 2 on the way. Also, other shows I'm excited about. Happy Valley, season 3, returning.
Like Sarah Lancashire, hero.
Queen.
Yeah.
The Bodyguard is going to come back.
Yeah.
Possibly next year, possibly the year after.
Be really interesting to see where that goes, though. Like, if Keely isn't in it. And apparently
or
she is dead
she? Or is she?
I think she is.
And rumour has it Marcella season 3 is filming.
Yes. Ooh, Marcella.
You know, and if only I get to say that
what's
again.
What's the other one that has Lenny James in it that I haven't watched?
Are you joking? Save me.
Lenny James
wrote it. Starring Stephen Graham is incredible again.
I want to watch that. That's on my list.
Yeah,
because
brilliant.
Season 2 got announced for that as well. Mm-hmm. So if everyone could just hurry up with those so that I can get back into my good TV routine.
Dublin Murders was another one we liked to look off, wasn't it?
Yes, that is very interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Brendan?
Who's in it again?
It's your man out of Love, Hate.
Yes. And is it based on a true story or not?
I think it's based on a number of true stories.
I'm not sure, but one of my friends worked on it, so maybe we can ask her about it.
I remember.
Let's ask her. That makes sense.
Will she come on the podcast?
I would say so because she also worked on Line of Duty.
Go on.
Are you joking?
And The Fall. Her name is Carolyn. She is a fabulous woman.
How have we never been introduced?
Well, she was living in Belfast. I probably shouldn't be talking about her personal life on this podcast. but we will give her a ring and we could get her on and get some line of juicies off her.
Yeah, that sounds very exciting. And The Fall. You loved The Fall, Brendan.
You still haven't started it, have you?
No, I need to cop on.
Honestly, I really, really, really think you would love it.
I know. It's right up my street. I have a list on my phone with a father's son.
Yeah,
I need to start
that.
As well. And there was a British procedural over 6 nights that I missed there that I need to get back into it.
Is
name
the
kind of sounded like Liar.
Oh, no.
What the hell
trust
was
me,
it called?
Trust me, no.
I was watching the end of that.
I didn't think.
Oh, The Victim. I never watched The Victim.
3 parts, I think.
The Victim. Other shows I'm excited for. There's a show called Capture. I think it might be ITV2. I'm not too sure. It's just on my little list here, my notes. And another one called His Dark Materials.
Oh.
So I'm going to be watching out for all those.
Juicy. Mm. Everybody at the moment is obviously watching Game of Thrones. Fake Kate appeared in last week's episode of Game of Thrones. And when I say the people were tweeting us in just being like, I was screaming at the TV saying Fake Kate. My boyfriend texted me and was like, Rebecca, Fake Kate is in Game of Thrones. So I watched the whole episode. Never seen it.
Someone ran across the floor of work today and they were like, oh my God, Fake Kate was in Game of Thrones. And I was like, I've never seen Game of Thrones, but I really appreciate your enthusiasm for Fake Kate.
And she was fantastic.
She played a peasant woman. She had quite a big role. She had a daughter. She was running away from Dragonfire. And I mean, considering it is the penultimate episode ever of the series,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she took about 30% of screen time.
She did. Mm. She did a great job.
From AC12 to GOT.
So guys, will we get down to one of these interviews?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I think we're going to call. I can't really believe this is happening, but I think we're going to give Rashinda Sandal a call, a.k.a. Lisa McQueen.
Now it's time to chat with a woman who can speak 1,000 words with just one look. We first heard...
Oh, yes.
Yes.
There she is.
There she is. We first heard Lisa McQueen scream the words, my baby!
My baby!
My baby!
Yes. Before going on to arrange, but not take part in, a number of murders, a criminal with a conscience, she's been described as. We last saw her apparently turning a new leaf, educating young girls away from a life of crime. Rashinda Sandal, thank you for agreeing to come on Shrine of Duty.
No, thank you for having me. I've just been loving watching all of your kind of like success of you've been coming up through, because you just started this year, right? Have I got that right?
Yeah, we just started before this season. Yeah, we did a quick recap of 1 to 4. Yeah.
And you've had such amazing success. So thank you so much for having me and thinking of me.
No, thank you.
I cannot believe you even know who we are. We're a bit starstruck / embarrassed / Twitter.
I'm a really big podcast fan. So like all of your stuff really pops up on all of my social media and stuff anyway. So I was like, oh my God, they're asking me to come on.
I love it.
My notes are on the floor.
Everyone's fangirling over everyone else.
We're blushing.
Come here. It must feel like a major relief that it's all done and dusted and it's out there in the open and you've no secrets to hold anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so nice not to be able to keep my mouth shut for another number of weeks. It's amazing to be able to kind of talk about it and discuss fully what has happened in this series. So yeah, no, it's great.
So Rashinda, you were a big Line of Duty fan before you obviously were asked to be on the show. What was it like getting that phone call to say that you'd gotten the part of Lisa McQueen?
It was absolutely mind-blowing, as you can imagine. I mean, obviously, as you know, I was a massive fan before I got the part. So when I got told that I was going to be working with such tremendous actors and been given the chance to secure a role like such as Lisa McQueen, I was over the moon. I mean, I really couldn't... I don't know if you've read about the story. I was on the way to IKEA when I found out that I got the job, and I ended up buying the more expensive wardrobes.
Oh, you're dead right.
Mine were falling to pieces. And I went for the more expensive wardrobe in celebration. It's just been amazing because it's just such a learning curve, you know, getting to work with such brilliant actors. And yeah, it's amazing. Amazing on loads of levels.
I remember when I found out that I got this job with Rebecca and Brendan and I rang my old job, told them I wasn't coming in for a week. just didn't give a shot. Yes. It all goes out the window when you get your dream role, doesn't
it? So true.
It?
Yeah, it's like winning the fucking lottery, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, it's really, it's amazing to be able to do what you want to do. Do you know what I mean?
And what was it like walking on set? Can you remember your first day? Because obviously Vicky McClure and Adrian Dunbar and Martin Compton have been filming that show for four seasons. Like, were you intimidated walking on? Or, you know, what were the first scenes that you filmed? Were they welcoming?
Definitely. I mean, my first scene was quite an easy day to kind of like guide you in, because my first scene was actually with Cassidy when Lisa McQueen goes in dressed as a nurse.
Oh, no, that's Rebecca's favourite scene.
You could lose a whole family. Like, if you basically you could lose your whole family. And so that was my first scene. So it was kind of with characters that weren't already in it already. So it was a nice, fairly soft introduction into working with such a magnificent team of people. But then again, you know, I always think, I always say this to people, you know, as much as it is overwhelming as an actor, you do have to kind of embrace it and just try your hardest to learn as much as you can from the masters that are involved in Line of Duty. You can't let your nerves get in the way of that, because there's just so much to suck up and enjoy, you know?
And absolutely. Speaking of magnificent masters, what was it like getting to spend so much time and acting alongside Stephen Graham?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, like, every day I was kind of pinching myself, and there were certain scenes where you kind of like walk in behind him where you don't kind of think too technically, as in when you kind of like slitting his throat or whatever, but when you kind of like walking behind him and you're kind of thinking, oh my god, this is such a dream come true. Like, when I was at drama school, we really obsessed over actors like Vicky and Martin and Stephen and Adrian. We're really obsessed over actors like that, and so to be walking in behind someone of that calibre, you really are pinching yourself every day, but also at the same time kind of watching him and being like, wow, this is such a great opportunity.
Yeah, I loved your relationship with him in series 5. Oh, I kind of, at one point I was like, do they fancy each other?
I know. And we did kind of discuss that as well. Is there a possibility of there any kind of sexy time happening? But we're like, no way, because he just loves his wife too much, you know. And he is the real deal out of all of us. He is telling the truth. And to some people. Oh,
does that mean Lisa's not telling the truth?
Ooh.
I know. She's a liar, isn't she? You're a liar.
Jed said that Lisa is a criminal with a conscience. Did you play her ambiguously, or did you decide in your head if she was good or bad?
Well, do you know what I love about Jed's work, and it's particularly about the way that Jed describes kind of baddies and goodies, is that he's kind of always says that even though they might be swaying one way, that nobody is ever one thing, which I kind of quite like, because you're not kind of strictly playing a villain, and you're just playing someone who's a human. It was just happens to be in that line of work. So I think the fact that she had a conscience was always present in the idea of Jed's work, because that's just the genius that he is. He writes every character so layered and so bloody human. It's kind of great to play, because if someone just says, you know, you're a bad character, it can lead an actor to perhaps maybe in another project to just play the baddie side. But I think characters are much more complex than that, which is why his work is such a joy to play.
And speaking of complex character, your Lisa obviously had a very, well, we're going to say definitive ending, but everything that Jed Mercurio writes is ambiguous. Do you think she has gone good? Is she really teaching girls, you know, how to reform and how not to get into gangs? Or is there something else going on there?
Well, we don't actually know anything further than what we know. But none of the characters actually know that, because Jed's the only one with the answers. But my personal feeling was that because she covered up for Ryan, and there's still a few lies, and she's the only link to Ryan and stuff like that, even though I might think that she might have gone good for that moment, I'm not sure that she's 100% good.
You're saying that obviously, you know, this season's ended and none of you, nobody apart from Jed knows what might happen in the next one. Do you know for sure if you're in it, if you're not in it? Like,
No, like literally, like no one knows. I've heard Martin in interviews kind of, and Vicky kind of say, no one knows who's coming back at any given time, which is great. It's really good because it means that nobody can sit back on the laurels and relax. It keeps everyone on the toes, which I think is a really good thing.
And like, I'm sure you as well as us, like, are we going to have to wait, like you as an actor or even just a fan, another 2 years?
I know. I'm not entirely sure because I asked about this just a couple of days ago and I said, because the last series between 4 and 5 was 2 years, right? Have I got that right?
Most of them are 2 years.
Yeah. So,
I can't cope.
I know, but they've said, because I'd said, what was the reason for that one being 2 years and the other one not? And this person said, it's because he was writing Bodyguard in between. Now I've just heard tell that he's going to write another Bodyguard.
That's exactly, we had the same panic during the week. It just got confirmed for season 2. So I'm like, which is going to come first?
I know, but I think Bodyguard would take priority in terms of white writing. But I have read somewhere as well that he hasn't written any of Series 6 for Line of Duty either. So I think Bodyguard would take precedence. And then, so it could be another 2 years. No!
For God's sake, we'll be ancient.
We'll be ancient by the time it comes back. Roshenda, when you guys were on set, you went on, like, you know, during your time filming, you went on all these amazing nights out. Like, I went on your Instagram last week, you know, all these hilarious pictures of you. Yeah, I was having a full creep on your Instagram.
Dog! Well, can I just do a bit of plug-in while I'm here? Belfast Liquor, I think it's Liquor XXX, was like our favourite bar to go in.
Oh,
it's run by a lovely chap called David. he's a partner with one of the makeup girls, his daughter, and so we frequented in there quite a lot because it's just around the corner from all the accommodation. And we had a wicked time in Belfast. Come on, man, the Irish Noir party.
Who is the best fun on a night out?
The best fun on a night out, I've got to say, probably Martin Compson.
He looks
very high. Because if he's had like 4 or 5 pints, if he goes back to being Scottish, it's good. you can tell how drunk he is from how Scottish he is.
And when you guys were on set, there was one, I saw an interview you did and you were talking about an incident involving a prawn curry. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Oh my gosh, I know. And we'd all just had this prawn curry at lunchtime, but we were doing a kind of half night shoot. And so we all started feeling sick. But you know when you're feeling sick and you don't dare tell anyone? But then all of a sudden, Stephen just come out with, do you feel sick? And I was like, yeah, I feel sick. And then it was like a domino effect.
All
like,
I can picture is that scene from Bridesmaids.
Sick. I'm so sick.
I hope no one shit in the sink.
Yeah, no, if I ever come across the same catering company, I'm going to be in big trouble. If it was only one time, the rest of the time the food was, it was amazing.
What scene did you guys film that you were all sick?
No, we weren't actually sick. It was just the feeling of nausea.
Oh.
So it could have totally been in our heads.
Of course. And
I'm not pointing the finger.
Yeah, we won't get you in trouble. Don't worry.
What scene was it that you might look nauseous in?
Oh, so it was a scene when we're discussing the Eastfield job and our plans to do that, basically, talking about the kind of lorries coming in and just the plan, the general plan. But actually,
and that was put out as a trailer as well, just to rub salt into the wound. We've all seen it about 4 times.
Yeah.
And Roshenda, just before we let you go, I hope it's sunny over there. It's gorgeous in Dublin, so we want to let you go enjoy it.
It's gorgeous here, darling. I'm so glad it's gorgeous there as well.
We're going to ask everyone a few quick fire questions. So we have 3 for you. Do you mind if I just give them to you real quick?
Go for it.
Okay. Who would you choose or who do you think is the fourth dot?
Who do I think is the fourth dot? Oh, I don't think... I can't answer that because I don't think that we know.
Actually, what's your all-time favourite Line of Duty moment?
All-time favourite Line of Duty moment is probably when Keely Hobbs got shot. regarding my our series. When Keely Hawes got shot in the head, and her head kind of like exploded in the car window. That was
yeah, and he thought he was going to get away with it, like DNA everywhere. And one last question. Can you tell us something random, fun, or juicy about the show or cast that no one else knows?
Oh, God, now you're asking. one night on a shoot when we were shooting and it was really freezing cold, and Stephen Graham had a cold, and the lady put the Albasoil into his balaclava, and he thought it would be a good thing, but she put too many two drops in, and it just made him cry all night.
Oh. No, Albasoil is strong.
Poor Stephen Graham.
Poor Stephen. We love that.
He was like thinking, just give me a bit of breathing room, because he could barely even breathe because he was so full of cold. And then she put the Albasoil in, just too many drops, and it just made him worse, I think.
That is the funniest thing ever. And Rochella, what's next for you? What are you working on next?
Oh, what's next for me? I've just come off an ITV2 comedy series, which is about zombies on a canal boat. And I've got a shiny Netflix series coming out, which I'm not allowed to name, which is really annoying. I've got a shiny Netflix series coming out, which will be in August.
Fab. We'll keep an eye for that.
We have heard about that Netflix series. It sounds really exciting, so we'll 100% be keeping an eye out for that.
Keep an eye out and keep in contact.
Oh, well, are you mad? We'll have your head done in.
Rochella, come here. Thanks so much for talking to us.
No, thank you so much. I'm so sorry that it didn't happen that we got to meet. But thank you so much for thinking of me.
Oh yeah, come here. And if you're here, if we're there, we're definitely going to give each other a call and we'll meet up for pints in the sunshine.
Exactly. I think you're coming back for season 6. We'll be up to Belfast.
We
for
will.
The crack.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me, my lovely. Aww,
cheers, love.
Bye. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. See you soon. Bye.
I love her so much.
Like, I feel like, and it's, she wasn't just being polite and friendly because, like, she was chatting on a podcast. I feel like the offer of meeting her for a drink is real.
Oh, I'm going.
I'm already booking train tickets to Belfast. If you get the train to Belfast, we'll drive up, we'll be fine.
Meet you at the front of the Arndale. Gin and tonics will have a great night. Oh, I'm going over. Yeah, you mad?
Yeah, I was only over there last weekend.
Ah, Brendan.
If only we'd been chatting before that.
She is just the loveliest person, and she could really, you know, you could justify an ego because she's an incredible actress, but she just doesn't have one.
No.
Really want to know what the crack is with that Netflix show.
Yeah, very interesting.
I wonder if it's a new series or if it's already out and she's starring in a new season of a series that we know about.
Oh maybe.
I just assumed it was a new one, but yeah, you could be right.
I feel like it could be a Netflix Ridge, something new coming out in September, you know, their autumn winter season.
And it's not Black Mirror, because that got announced today and it's not that.
Your favourite's in it.
Andrew Scott.
I was literally about to be like Miley Cyrus. No.
Well, you wouldn't know it was me, would you?
No.
Andrew Scott, obsessed.
Yeah,
like, I'm a massive fan of his.
Same. Hannah bumped into him in Tiger.
Go on.
Have I never told you this
story?
No,
I don't think so.
So it was like peak final season of Sherlock, one of my favourite TV shows of all time. Went to watch the last episode in the cinema, massive loser, read all the books. Arthur Conan Doyle is so intelligent. Benedict Cumberbatch, everything's perfect. And I'm swanning around over in the shopping centre at Christmas. And you know when you're a bit stressed
Very
and everyone's
busy.
In your face and you're just trying to get your bits done, you have your list. And this dope is going around the Tiger over there. And it's only tiny and it's a one-way walking system with like huge like pillows in plastic bashing into everyone with the pillows. And I'm like, will you move? And you know the face on me. So I'm like throwing looks and all, swing around to go ballistic. Well, it's only Moriarty.
Going the wrong way around Tiger with a load of cushions.
I nearly collapsed.
What type of cushions were they?
I don't know. They were lovely, fluffy ones. I'd say he was just out Dunn's home for Christmas. I'd say they were going home to his mom's house. He's so handsome in real life. He has such a nice voice. And this was before Fleabag season 2 even existed. This was just my Moriarty kind of thing I had going on. It's taken to a whole other level now, but I had to quickly go outside and record a voicemail on the sly. I was like, Moriarty's in Tiger.
He's going to have a huge year, isn't he?
Did you miss me? One of my biggest regrets that I didn't ask for a photo now, really and truly.
sometimes when you love someone, though, you need to, you know, let them be.
Yeah, and I feel like it was like 22nd of December kind of time.
Oh,
I'd say,
busy, up their eyes.
I'd say the lovely person, but you could have punched your own mam in the face on 21st December Christmas shopping in Tiger one way.
No one has time for a photo on the 22nd of December unless you're on a 12 pubs and you're locked at the end of the night.
But Andrew, if I see you in a June, we're getting a selfie.
You might bump into him in Stephen's Green Shopping Centre, my
love. I mean, does Black Mirror require a podcast? I'm too afraid to watch it, but I will.
We can try, but it's...
It's very close to reality. That's my issue.
It's like years and years, I'm telling you, watch it.
Yeah, but Brendan, that will have my anxiety through the roof.
My anxiety was through the roof watching it last night, because it's only a few... So I think it follows one family.
It's 2024.
Yes. Oh. So it's kind of like... close enough that you can sort of predict what might happen, and it's so cleverly edited. So in one scene yesterday, without ruining anything, there's a guy driving in a car and he's listening to the radio, and it was yesterday's news headlines on the show.
What?
In the drama, because you're watching it, you're like, this is like filmed months ago. And
why do you talk about it? How did they do that?
Like, lads, it's mental.
Oh, I can.
It actually took, like, my mind kind of just like was a bit warped for
Give
a second.
Give me an example. Can you remember?
Did they edit
I can remember
afterwards?
Exactly what they were like. So they did a headline about Brexit, which could have been generic, but it wasn't. It was specific about whatever Theresa May was doing.
Yeah.
And the next headline was, and tributes are pouring in for Doris Day, who has died at the age of 97.
No.
I nearly burst into tears.
Did they in post-production obviously put that on yesterday?
Yeah.
No, that's
terrifying. The episode was obviously ready to go, and they were like, we're going to put in the today's headline.
I'm getting really warm, guys. That terrifies me.
Well, I tell you what pushed me over the edge.
I don't know why, but I feel weirdly emotional.
That's so terrifying.
Guys, I was reading. So Netflix have started to put out statistics, right?
Yeah.
So every Wednesday now, they're going to put out top 10. I'm sorry, I'm still laughing. You're crying.
It's just so weird. I was like, oh my God, this is the creepiest thing that's ever happened.
But that is a feeling when something is so weird, you just want to cry because you don't like it. But Netflix are going to start putting out top 10 lists. So every Wednesday, you're going to get the most watched shows, the most watched movies. And they're notorious for being really secretive about their stuff.
Oh yeah, they'll tell anybody.
Yeah, so it's really cool. So to launch that whole initiative, they did the whole month of April and put out all the stats. So I was just flicking down through them, you know, The Bodyguard, The Perfect Date, all this. And then I was like, You versus Wild Bear Grylls, and it was popping up in all the top tens. Now, I almost cried how weird this was. Why are you laughing?
We have a friend who worked. Do you want to finish your story and we'll tell you a really funny story?
Okay, I will. But I'm just saying, I'm not putting this down. I think it's incredible, but it's a choose your own adventure show with Bear Grylls. So in the trailer, I actually can't believe it's real. Bear is halfway up a mountain, like abseiling. And then he just turns to the camera and you're sitting at home on your arse watching TV, eating a Chinese. And you decide whether he goes up and down the mountain.
So it's like Black Mirror, the last Black Mirror.
Except they're actors. And he's up a mountain in the wild.
Didn't.
And I almost cried about how weird that was. And I'm like, that's too much.
That is weird. Didn't Darren Brown do something similar to that before? You know the way he does his TV experiments?
He did it with a live audience.
Yeah.
And that was twisted now. But that's Darren Brown. So you're going in expecting something different. I thought this was just a Bear Grylls documentary. You thought you were watching one of our BBC shows. And you end up bawling over Doris Day.
You know, that's
terrifying. I'd be panicked. Imagine you made the wrong decision and he plummeted off the side of the cliff.
No, but they wouldn't have released the TV series if he did.
No, you wouldn't.
So you can
get
take
the insurance.
Comfort in that.
Tell me the funny story.
So a friend of ours worked, this is years ago, worked as a kind of a runner on a TV show.
Where are all these friends?
Oh, no. Many friends.
Yeah, he's so
And
funny.
He...
Is it who I'm thinking?
No, I don't think you know him.
Oh, raging.
And... How do I tell
it
the story?
It is who I'm
right?
thinking.
Oh, is it?
I just nodded.
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
Gas. So, was working on this show. Had to like rent. I think they were in America.
Yeah, they were in America.
They were in America. And had to rent a van. And it had to drive off set and go and collect something in this massive van that was like really difficult to drive.
Like a space wagon.
Yeah.
But bigger.
Yeah. So, he's in this massive like transit van by himself. And had the call of nature. Had to go. And didn't have time to...
Which one? A bad one?
A number
bad
two.
One, a bad one.
A number fucking 25.
A number right now, it's happening.
It's literally happening.
And so, I love the way we've got from like Line of Duty
to this. Drivel, yeah.
So...
Drivel.
He got pulled the van onto the side of a road, jumped out.
Did a bridesmaid.
Ran around into the back of the transit van and on the flat open floor of the van.
No.
Found, put down a few bags.
Found rolls of black bin bags, put them down, squatted, did what he had to do.
Business.
Wrapped it all up in another black bag, like kind of treble or quadruple, wrapped it in black bags.
Make sure it didn't sieve through, you know.
Then had to go and do whatever job it was.
Where was it?
So basically, he had to go to a shopping centre to get something, and he also needed to like wash his hands and just check himself. So he carried
the poo bag
in the bag and put it in the bin of the shopping centre. Then later,
can I just ask a question? Shocking. Is this on the set of Bear Grylls, or did you just want to tell this story?
Well, I just want to tell the story separately to that. And then later on, he obviously went back to set or whatever and had to, Bear Grylls got a lift
in the car that he took a shit in.
In the van that he took a shit in. And they were driving down the road, and, and Bear Grylls was like, it's a bit of a funny smell in here, isn't there? And my friend
Bear
was
Grylls,
like,
him sleeping inside a sheep,
him drinking his own piss. Yes.
My friend was like, he drinks his own.
But wouldn't you hate if you were like, Bear Grylls smelled my own shit?
I'm sorry, what are we meant to do now? And now an interview with Gregory Porter.
Piper, yeah.
This is why we need to have Gregory Porter. He did that song with Disclosure.
Yeah. I've said that thinking of. Yeah, 65 times this week. I've called it's Gregory so Piper. Incredible actor.
This is
Gregory
why we
Porter.
Need Line of Duty in our lives, because otherwise it just turns into this mad chaos.
Filth conversation.
People have said to us, oh, please keep podcasting. Number one, I don't know why, but also, you know, just podcast about anything. Well, this is what happens when we podcast. Yeah. About anything, we will be waiting for the strict structure of a show that is a little bit serious enough to keep us in line, I think.
Because otherwise we just go off.
And on that note, let's chat to Ryan, the bent bastard, Gregory Piper.
You say bent.
We say bastard.
Bent.
Bastard.
Immunity.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We first met Ryan Pilkington in series one of Line of Duty, cycling around in circles on his bike and taking a bolt cutter to Stephen's fingers. He went away for a while but was back with a bang in series five, sending eagle-eyed fans into a frenzy when they spotted him. By the end of the series, it very much looked like Ryan could take the place of our Doc Cotton as Crime's inside man, and we are very excited at Line of Duty to have Ryan the Bent Bastard, aka Gregory Piper, on the line. Greg, that must have been a mad show to get involved in at such a young age.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. It was absolutely great because, like, being a kid, riding around the bike, swearing at adults, it was like a playground. So it was just amazing.
How old were you during that first series?
13.
13. And what did your parents think of you, like, playing such a mad little character, having such bad language in the script, like, being involved in murders?
Yeah, they loved it. Like, my parents are big fans of film and TV anyway, so, they absolutely loved it. They loved that type of gritty stuff, so, yeah.
Amazing. How did you learn to play bad? Like, were you just born like that? Did you have to really get into the role? Like, how did you go from being a nice little kid, presumably at home, to playing the bent bastard that we know and love?
Well, the cool answer would be, yeah, I was born like it. But I went to Stourbridge Drama Workshop and Dudley College. So I learnt there. But the person who played Wesley Duke, Dylan, we had practices and things like that in rooms where he would go through like the slang and things. So account a lot of that to Dylan, yeah.
Gregory, when you finished series one, in between, what was it like when you got the call back to say that they wanted you to come back for Line of Duty season 5?
Yeah, it was extremely surreal. I was at college at the time and we were in a rehearsal for The Crucible, and my agent and my girlfriend have a group chat, and it came through on the group chat, and Rebecca, who's my girlfriend, was off and she noticed and tried to get like my attention. And when I came out, it was just crazy. We had to like do so much so quickly in terms of like audition and self-tape and things. So yeah, I think surreal is the word there.
And the reaction was so huge, because when I first watched that episode, I think all of us missed that it was actually you that was back, and Twitter was going absolutely crazy when they saw you.
It was quite subtle, which I liked. And obviously we know now with the whole series of why, because none of the police really knew who Ryan was. The subtleness was very exciting to have people trickling in and kind of slowly realising.
And come here, Greg, we spoke to Roshenda earlier about when she found out she was joining the show, and she very interestingly told us she was on her way to IKEA at the time, and when she found out she got cast, she bought herself the more expensive wardrobe. You know, where were you when you found out? You know, does it stand out?
We were getting petrol at the time.
I love what a big moment this was for everyone, that they remember exactly what they were doing.
Oh yeah, it's a very memorable moment. We're getting petrol, and I had a call off my agent, and there's no more expensive petrol to buy, but we bought petrol. Yeah.
And what were you doing in between season 1 and season 5? Have you been acting away, and have you always been acting, or was Line of Duty your first introduction into that world?
I was acting a little bit before by joining the workshop and things, and I knew I was interested in it. But obviously that was the first big job or professional job I did. And then in between, I kind of just practiced theatre a lot with training and things like that in between. And then, yeah. And then when I left, I got this again, which was just great.
And Gregory, during the series, obviously you had a pivotal role, and that involved murdering Stephen Graham, a.k.a. John Corbett. What was it like when you read that script, and what was it like working alongside the legendary Stephen Graham?
It was a big... When I first read it, it was obviously extremely shocking. But it's such a big responsibility because of how amazing the scripts are, how amazing Jed is, and obviously how amazing Stephen Graham is. You want to be able to do it justice. So, yeah, making sure you were doing justice with that. And Stephen Graham is so lovely and would give advice to me and talk to me about things. So, yeah, it was just great all round.
This is a question we were asking to Roshenda, a.k.a. Lisa, earlier on. What was the first scene that you shot, and was it intimidating walking back into a show that you've been gone from for 4 seasons?
So the first scene I shot was with Alistair, who played Lee, when we're taking Manit out to kill her, basically.
That is a tricky scene.
Yeah, that was the first scene. So we're all balaclavaed up, which was maybe felt a little bit better. But it was a bit intimidating to kind of join it again. But everyone was very, very welcoming, which was I was very glad about.
Just to go back to that, the killing of John Corbett, that must have felt like a massive responsibility. Did you do it in one take? Like it looked really gruesome. Like how did that feel to have to do that?
It did feel like a big responsibility. We did have like two or three outfits to change into because obviously the blood gets everywhere. And there's lots of different angles. And so the main one, I think we did it twice, where I come behind him and actually slit his throat. But yeah, when he's on the floor, we did that maybe one or two times again, and cleaned the clothes and things like that, and then changed. About four times really.
That was so. Ooh. It was so gruesome. It was so shocking
it's
to watch.
So shocking.
Yeah. It was great. Like watching it is so. It's so cool. See, knowing how they do it as well, like. I had the knife and a tube coming out of the knife, and then the tube was like taped down my back and came out of my leg.
Whoa.
And then came into this big compressor thing which had all the blood in it. And so there was a guy pumping that, and then that would come through and I'd press a button on the knife and like draw the blood across his throat.
Oh my God.
I presume they slightly speed it up, and then it was all just so quick and so very cool.
It's like a horror movie. Gregory, at the end of season five, it was revealed that Ryan is set to play a pretty big part in the next series. You're basically going to be the next, Crime's next inside man. Can you tell us a bit about, do you know much about season six? Will you be back for the whole season? Do you know anything? What can you tell us?
I have absolutely no idea. I know absolutely nothing. I mean, I'm so excited, but you know, might not even be in it.
It does look pretty certain. I mean, it does look, to be fair, you have to admit, it does look like you've been teed up to be in it big time.
Yeah. There's a big, you know, you can see where the character goes, definitely. Yeah.
And so do you have any idea, like, are we going to have to wait the same length of time again? Like, you know, any idea of like when you're going to be back to Belfast filming, anything like that?
Absolutely no idea again. It could be. What was it? Was it 2 years or it's been longer between series as well? So I would not know. Absolutely no idea.
Ryan, did you? Ryan. I knew I was going to do it. It's just so, it's too real to me.
Yeah, that's fine.
Gregory, were you watching the show along with everyone every week? Did you tune in?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. To watch my parents' reaction. Definitely. Yeah.
Is it weird watching yourself on what's going to, I think, one of the biggest shows of the decade now, and then the Twitter, like, people just go mental when it's live on BBC.
I know. It's very, very surreal. It's like, I don't know, it's like you've got your computer plugged in or something. You're watching your own video you've shot yourself. It's so strange to think that you're there. Twitter... it does go mental. It's so cool to see everyone's theories on Twitter.
Yeah, there are so many theories.
Yeah.
So many this year. So, Gregory, who is your favourite member of the OCG and who is your favourite member of AC12? As personally and as in the show, as their characters.
That's a good one.
So from the OCG, I'd say Tommy, because we go way back to series one.
Yeah, Miroslav, we love him.
Yeah. But like, obviously, we're all friends with like Rashenda, Alistair, and we all stayed in the same hotel, so we were, you know, late night theories and things like that. So
late night series.
Aww. Yeah.
Okay.
Lines and things. Yeah.
Very good.
What about AC12?
It would be so hard to pick from. Like they're all great.
It's tough.
Yeah, they're all great. I love Kate at the end of series three when we've got the urgent exit.
Yeah,
she's running through the streets with the gun. That's pretty amazing.
Clinging onto the side of the truck. Greg, we've got a couple of quick fire questions that we give to everyone that we talk to, and they're the same for everyone. So I'm just going to throw them at you now, and I want your short, sharp answers. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. So who would you choose as the fourth dot if you were writing the show?
Hastings, maybe, to shatter everyone's dreams. Or Jed come in and make a cameo. That'd be cool.
That would be pretty cool. What's your all-time favourite Line of Duty moment?
Got to be Kate. Yeah, at the end of Series 3, running with the gun.
Amazing. And tell us something completely random or funny or juicy about the show or cast that nobody would know.
One night, the OCG were in the car and we were all rocking out to Gangster's Paradise because it's John Strickland's favourite song.
Oh my God!
Amazing. That has there has to be an Insta story of that somewhere on somebody's phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll pay good money.
Well, Greg, thanks so much for talking to us.
Gregory, yes, we love you. Thank you so much. We can't wait to see what's going to happen to our little bent bastards in season 6.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for making this podcast. Like, it's so great to listen to it.
Oh my God. I can't believe you listened. Thanks a million.
And Gregory, one last thing before you go. Could you just say that line, you bent bastard?
You bent bastard.
Yay! Thanks so much.
Thank you, Greg. Bye.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I love the fact that we got him to say, you bent bastard.
So that was a pipe dream from during the week, and Rebecca was like, oh, I'm asking him, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Just see how it goes. We don't want to annoy him. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not just Ryan, even though I called him Ryan. And then he said it.
Oh, like, we need to make a remix of that. And also the fact that they were all out singing Gangster's Paradise. I'm like, can we make a song called Bent Bastard's Paradise or something?
Yeah,
like,
literally, yes. I will pay to have that. It just sounds like they have the best crack filming that show, doesn't it?
Like, imagine, like the privilege, but it is a privilege to work on, like, such a good show and to, like, go away to Belfast and hang out for a few months.
With the soundest people.
With the soundest people.
Did he say at one point they all stay up and watch series in the hotel?
Yeah, he was like, late night series. I think now Rishenda might give us a different version of events.
But like, to stay in a hotel with all my friends, they're really fun people, and stay up and watch a series late at night.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, any roles going in season 6? There's something so special we know about Line of Duty, but there's something so special about the cast.
Ah, definitely. They're just so sound. Like, it is an absolute privilege to talk to people and actors that are this nice.
Amazing.
And also, do you know what I'm laughing so much about? Every time we ask someone in the quick fire round, tell us something random, fun or juicy, there's no hesitation, straight in. It's like, oh yeah, well, on a night out.
Oh, yeah, I can't get over it. Usually like, oh, is
well,
there,
should I? If wait, oh. Wait, I tell you. So that just goes to show.
Yeah. So hopefully we're going to get more juice now out of Alistair Nakhil, who plays Lee Banks.
Now, our Hannah has unfortunately had to make an urgent exit. However, the show must go on, and we have something very juicy lined up. It's time to chat to possibly the most handsome member of the OCG. Live from Blackthorn Prison, it's Alistair Nakhil, a.k.a. Lee Banks.
I think you're being very kind to me there. I'm not sure the other lads would be so happy with that description, but, you know, I'll take it.
Well, Ali, first things first, what was it like getting the call to say that you had landed a role in Line of Duty?
Well, I literally ran around the room. I was up in Edinburgh doing a few plays up at the festival last summer, and I'd done my self-tape with one of my mates from the cast and sent it in. And I'd sent it in on a Wednesday, and then my agent phoned, like, on the Friday afternoon, and I saw that it was them ringing, and I didn't even think for a second that it would be about Line of Duty, because it was, I'd only sent the tape in on Wednesday.
So yeah, that was a quick turnaround. So then,
yeah, I mean, absolutely, and you know, it's quite, more and more the things are being cast by self tape these days. But I was kind of thinking that if, you know, they liked the tape, then I'd have to get back to London and go in the room and meet them and all that stuff. So, but anyway, so I answered the phone, had a little chit chat with my agent about whatever, and then he said, okay, and so I've got some good news for you on Line of Duty. And I was just like, what? And yeah, I literally ran around the room jumping up and down, and all the lads that I was sharing these digs with, they obviously knew that I'd taped for it, and it's one of the shows. So I'm from Birmingham originally. So it's a show that I've always wanted to do. I've been a huge fan of it since it's first been on.
So you were obviously a fan of the show before you joined it. Like, what was it like kind of walking onto set on your first day?
It was quite surreal because it was quite quiet when I arrived. They were halfway through shooting something else. So I arrived and there was hardly anybody there. And I had a few introductions to, you know, to production and to wardrobe. And it just kind of had a slow, but yeah, a slow burn to get into it. But then eventually, and you do get nervous because, you know, oh God. And then obviously you're on set and people start coming back for lunch and then Martin's there and Vicky's there and Adrian and all these people that obviously you've watched on the show forever, who are all absolutely lovely and they all kind of make you feel at home. And then John Strickland came over and made a point of coming to me and saying hello and just making sure that I was settling in okay and everything. So it was just, yeah, it was great. It was a dream job, really. And Maya, who plays Manit, who actually I'd seen in Edinburgh, we actually went to school together.
Hey, amazing.
Yeah. We did a play together at school when I was in like my final year and she was the year below, I think, 2 years below. And we did Guys and Dolls together at school.
It must have been a bit awkward when you were kind of semi-responsible for killing her in the episode.
I know, right? Yeah, I didn't realise then that I would end up slitting her throat on some jetty in Belfast. But yeah.
I can imagine, like, it's such a huge show. Did you find it hard keeping a secret of what had happened on the show? And also, we need to ask this. What did Ted say to you when he visited you in prison?
I mean, funnily enough, you're the only person that's asked me that.
No.
Oh my God, yeah, I'm sure nobody's ever asked you that before.
Not one person has asked me that at all. No, not at all. I don't actually know is the actual truth of it. And at the time, I was quite disappointed because, you know, as an actor, I was thinking, oh, it would have been nice to actually shoot the scene, you know, have the interview scene with Adrian. But then, actually, as it's turned out, the fact that you didn't see what was said has made the character of Lee Banks kind of maybe a bit more prominent than he would have been if you had seen what he said, because there's so many people going, what did he say? Did he tell you who Corbett was? And
so obviously you did spend, you know, a lot of the series in prison, but before that, like, you were involved in some like really dramatic scenes, like including that raid. Like, what was that like to film? Like, you know, it was really dramatic, really tense, kind of nighttime. Like, what was going on?
Oh, it was amazing. We did a lot of night shoots, but those two nights were real, like, proper night shoots through to kind of 3-4 in the morning. And it was freezing for a start because it was like late October, but it was just great. I mean, you know, what's not to like about, you know, running around shooting guns at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, with balaclavas on?
I think the character of Lee Banks definitely seemed to be suspicious of John Corbett, probably ahead of a lot of other people on the OCG. You know, is that something you played like on purpose that way? Were you aware that like your character was definitely suspicious of him from early on?
Yes and no. I mean, because of obviously when he barges me out of the way in that race,
yeah,
about to shoot the policeman. And he barges me out of the way. I think that's the moment where I really obviously decide that I really don't, I'm really suspicious of him. But for me, because of that, I did feel that I had to have some kind of build up to that. So I think in my head, for my kind of backstory for my character, I was kind of thinking, well, or Lee's thinking, where's this guy come from? Like, how has he managed to, in a year to introduce himself to our gang, and now all of a sudden he's the leader of the gang.
And Alistair, during your time on the series, you wore a stunning grey tracksuit when you were in prison. And we, on the podcast, myself, Brendan and Hannah, have just been obsessed with you in the tracksuit. Like, who gave it to you? Where did you get it? Was it Fruit of the Loom? Tell us more.
No, it's just, you know, special edition Blackthorn, HMP Blackthorn. Special edition sweatshirts that are unfortunately not available in the shop.
You could go to prison for one, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favourites was seeing Adrian and Hastings in his prison get-up, and he's like really a real fall from grace. But I've heard that you guys have got AC12 mugs.
We do.
Yeah, Hannah's mum got us some AC12 mugs with her own quotes on the back of them. Like,
I mean, I don't even have an AC12 mug. I'm fuming about that.
Fuming. The reaction to the series has obviously been like immense and intense. You were watching people watch you on Gogglebox recently. Tell us about that.
Well, some of the reactions on Gogglebox. Tommy, who plays Miroslav, one of the girls, when the card game was going on just before John gets killed, and John picks up the gun, and she went, "Go on, John, shoot his cock off." like, brilliant.
Yeah, like the show is obviously so incredible, but also what we loved was seeing all the behind-the-scenes photos of you guys out on nights out in Belfast when you're filming. It looked like so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yes. So, you know, you finish at midnight or so, and we had some very late nights, drunk a lot of Guinness. We all just got on brilliantly, and we've met up since in London and had a day out in London and kind of carried on where we left off from Belfast and had far too many drinks.
So, Ali, we have a few quick fire questions we would love to ask you. So I'm just going to ask you these really fast. If you had to pick, who would you choose as the fourth dot?
I think it'd be good if it was someone like really, really high up. So maybe PCC Sindwani.
What is your favourite all-time Line of Duty moment?
When Dot shoots Lindsay Denton in the car.
Yes.
In, what is that, Series 3?
That was Roshenda's.
That was Roshenda's favourite moment as well, yeah.
Was it?
Yep.
Because she's just pressed send, hasn't she? And then he shoots her, and it's just like, oh, the tension is just incredible. So I love that one. But I tell you what, I remember watching it the very, very, very first scene of Episode 1 and getting to the end of that scene where they've shot the guy holding his baby, and then they turn the number around on the door from the 9 to the 6 or the 6
yeah,
to the 9,
that was
whatever
amazing
way around it is. And I remember just thinking, oh my God, what an opening scene. This is brilliant.
And I think a lot of people that have watched it have forgotten how we got to where we were, that's where we started. You kind of forget that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So shocking. And Ali, can you tell us something funny, random, or juicy about the show or cast that no one knows?
Well, I'm sure we kind of told you about the dodgy prawn curry.
Oh,
we've had the prawn curry, yeah.
Let's just leave it at this. We met some very interesting local Belfast characters late at night in the hotel bar that we quite often had to kind of lie to about who we were and what we were doing, because we didn't want them to know that it was the cast of Line of Duty. Sitting there and getting very, very late at night. But
the OCG playing UCOs.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
and come here, Ali, what's next for you? Any projects coming up? What are you working on that you can tell us about? What are you working on now that you can tell us about?
So I went pretty much straight from filming into, I did a show up in Sheffield, which was a new show called Standing at the Sky's Edge, which was really good at the Sheffield Crucible Theatre, which they're hoping is going to transfer down to London at some point. And then next month I go off to play, to do a Shakespeare play up in the Midlands for the summer, doing an outdoor Shakespeare play at Stafford Castle called Playing Bassanio in The Merchant of Venice. So got some, had some nice little jobs since then. And then, you know, who knows what Line of Duty might lead to, or whether Lee Banks will make another appearance in Series 6.
Have you heard anything about that yet? Do you know anything about Series 6 and if you will be back?
Unfortunately, I absolutely don't. I haven't got any kind of sniff on that whatsoever. So I'm literally just praying that at some point later this year or whenever they're going to start planning Series 6, that I get a call to say, you know, we want you back for a couple of episodes. I mean, you just never know what Jed's got in his exceptionally brilliant
so
mind.
So true.
For what might happen. But fingers crossed. I mean, I'm not dead, so I can return.
Yeah, you're not my niece.
No, exactly. So, yeah, we'll see. Fingers crossed. I would absolutely love to come back, of course. It's been an absolute dream to be involved with it, so...
Well, we'd love to have you back on Line of Duty. And thank you so much for coming on to the podcast, Alistair. It's been an absolute pleasure, and best of luck with all your future projects.
My pleasure, and congratulations with the podcast. I have been listening, and it's great fun. You guys
have done. Thanks. That means so much to us.
Thanks.
No, it has. It's really great. It's, I mean, some of your reactions, by the way, are almost as good as the Gogglebox.
We just kind of didn't think that anyone would listen, to be honest.
We're still
and
shocked.
Now we're really embarrassed.
Oh, you're so humble. It's great. It's great. Just playing a bit of humility. I love it.
Alison Akhil, thank you so much for coming on Shrine of Duty.
My absolute pleasure. Cheers, guys.
Guys, I'm absolutely raging. I miss Lee Banks. I had to pop out there.
Pop out and do a DJ set.
Absolutely raging.
What jobs did you have to do?
I had to do a few bits, Brendan.
Oh, right.
And I only missed...
You wouldn't want Patricia Carmichael. God.
Who's Anne Carmichael?
Anne Carmichael.
You know, every
she's
time,
like an RTE news
every
presenter.
Time we see our colleague Trish, who works with us, like, I still call her Jackie.
Jackie Laverty.
I'm disgraceful at pronouncing names. But yeah, no, I'm fuming over that. So, yeah, missed that. Was it good?
Lovely.
How was he?
Great. Like, what a gent.
So lovely.
And so different to...
Well, I mean, he'd want to be Brendan.
He would. He's not in prison.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good starting point.
Still looks great in a tracksuit.
He really
fruit
looks
of the loom.
Great.
Fruit of the loom.
I can't believe we've just got to speak to all those really successful, talented people.
They're all so lovely. They must think that we're odd.
It's not right that we were actually allowed.
No,
we
know.
Sent really calm, professional emails being like, you know, to whom it may concern, we would request the... And then talked shite for an hour and a half when we got them on the phone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so like that was, I suppose, a bit of an OCG special.
An OCG special?
I feel like we're all now members of the OCG. We've gone on to the dark side. Who are we, Jill Bigelow?
Who am I, H? Who are you? Fake Kate.
Kind of more thrilling to be on the OCG side of it though, really, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I never would have slayed Stephen Graham in such a fashion, however.
Yeah. Like, could you imagine the terror being Gregory when you read your script and go...
I have to do that.
Oh my God, I have to kill Stephen Graham.
Literally, like, one of the best actors to come out of the country. And he's only walked back into the show. And he pulls it off so well.
Did you see him and Martin Compston at the BAFTAs together this week?
Is Martin Compston the most fun person?
I think so. Everyone seems to absolutely love
also,
him.
Also, I loved in all of his, like, tweets and stuff, he kept saying, works night out. I was just like, I love the... I just love that phrase. Like, yeah, it's a works night out.
Calling Stephen Graham wee man and all. Yeah, taking the piss out of him on the back.
He's red car. He's like, I thought you were English. He's like, I thought you were dead.
It is now going on my bucket list to meet that man and possibly have a drink with him. I'd say you'd have the night of your life.
Martin Compston.
Absolutely.
Lads, we're going up to Belfast. The second that we get wind that they're starting to film the new series, Line of Duty, we are up there. We are drinking. We are ordering whiskeys for Adrian Dunbar.
You were about to say platters, weren't you?
I was going
to
say a platter. Thing and about not a prawn inch. Curry, as we learnt the hard way.
No.
Never a prawn curry. Me, a vegetarian, and Brenton, a vegan.
Staunch vegan. And then when we, you know, bed in Belfast, I mean, not to sound too psychotic.
Oh, I want to go to we'll a dodgy hotel.
Guys, we don't want to scare
No,
them.
We don't. We should stop talking. But, we, if we end up going to Vegas, I want to go to Martin Compston's built-in bar in his home.
Oh, Brendan's going to Martin Compston's home with his wife and dog. Oh, don't mind us, Mr. Vegas.
We're staying in Travelodge.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can have great, like, room parties in the Travelodge. They don't care what you do.
I hope the toilet flushes.
And we'll do the Giant's Causeway on the way back.
Oh yeah, and the rope bridge.
Oh, I'm not getting near
go
that
to
rope
Asda.
Bridge. Yeah, and you know
I've never
what?
Been in an Asda.
Have you?
No.
Oh, it's right up your street. You'd love the Homewares.
I know, and I love that little, like, little
bing, bing.
You know the ad.
They slap their bum.
Yeah. And they've a Sainos up there as well. We should go up to Newry for Christmas. Great shopping. Now, let's wrap it up. That was our Shrine of Duty OCG special. We hope to be back to you possibly with more cast interviews,
yeah.
Possibly with another show if one comes to us in the universe. Keep letting us know what you're watching. We're on Twitter at Shrine of Duty. Stay subscribed. You never know what's coming down the line.
And if all else fails, we'll just talk about our friend who took a shit in Bear Grylls' car.
Guys, language.
Shrine of Duty.
There's only one thing I'm interested in, and one thing only, and that's bent covers.
Shrine of Duty, the official, unofficial podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.